Ode to Joy is one of the most recognizable and popular tunes in all of music. It's the centerpiece melody of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. The Baltimore Symphony Orchestra has performed the Ninth every year for the past several years. They'll wrap up their 2013-14 season with performances this weekend that will also include a Pulitzer Prize-winning cantata by John Adams called On the Transmigration of Souls, a beautiful elegy on the tragedy of the 9/11 attacks. Maren Alsop will conduct the BSO along with the Peabody Children's Chorus and the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall, and Maren Alsop joins me in the studio. Good morning. It's great to see you.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
So you've paired these two really iconic pieces, but they're iconic for very different reasons. John's piece won the Pulitzer Prize, written after in the year after 9/11, and you've paired it with the Ninth Symphony of Beethoven. Why did you decide that particular combination?
Well, there are many reasons. They're both very personal looks by creators who have a distinctive point of view. I think both have universal messages to share with us. The 9/11 piece, of course, by John Adams, it's a very emotional, very moving piece. He incorporates many texts, personal texts that people either left, you know, for loved ones looking when they were searching for them, or messages that were left on voicemail, or little notes from the New York Times that were written to loved ones. So it takes that massive tragedy and personalizes it, and I think it gives us a sense of how precious life is and how precious relationships are. And then Beethoven's Ninth Symphony is also about humanity. This is a piece that that really shines a spotlight on Beethoven's belief in the goodness of mankind. And of course, I think sometimes it's only when we see these horrible tragedies that we are able to perpetrate as human beings that we can actually be open to the goodness as well in each other. And Beethoven's Ninth Symphony is all about coming together and being united in the brotherhood of mankind.
The symphony, Baltimore Symphony, did On the Transmigration of Souls about 8 years ago with Carlos Kalmar conducting. They were very powerful experiences. And John Adams, the composer, talks about creating what he calls a memory space. Here's the very beginning of the piece, which begins with a sound design of recordings of people just on the street. And then we hear these voices come in with the word missing.
Missing. Missing.
So this notion of a memory space, what do you think John means by that term?
Well, I think it's creating an oral memorial. It's as though, you know, you go to, I've been to the actual physical memorials that have been erected there, and I find them very moving, you know, where you stand there and you look into that depth, that profound hole in the ground, you know, and we each feel something different. I think with John's piece, he wants us to exist in an oral kind of memorial space where we can listen, you know, because that day was not just about the physicality, it was about the sounds. You know, it goes from normalcy to terror in the matter of just a few minutes, a few seconds. And I think that in some ways, it captures the terrifying quality even more than the pictures do.
Helen D. Cook.
Joseph W. Flynn. John.
Helen D. Cook.
Christina Flynn.
Missing.
Joseph W. Flynn.
Helen D. Cook.
Christina Flynn. Carl
Flickinger. Helen D. Cook.
Carl Flickinger.
As you mentioned, the text comes from a whole bunch of different places. One of them is a snippet of something left on a voicemail by one of the flight attendants on one of the planes, where she said, "I see water and buildings." She was trying to sort of identify where they were. And it's very powerful. And John writes in a style that people refer to as minimalism. And in this little passage, she repeats this, or the children's chorus repeat this little figure over and over again. It's amazing how the style so beautifully accords with the tone and the emotion of the piece.
Yeah, I think that the way John, you know, repetition for we human beings is an integral component of taking something in. I mean, Beethoven repeats things many times. With John's music, the repetition is more obvious because it's self-contained in a way. And I think thusly it becomes more impactful.
Is there a particular quality to John's music? I mean, you've championed his music just as you've championed so many contemporary composers. Is there a particular distinguishing quality of his approach to the craft and art of writing music that resonates with you?
Well, every piece he writes, of course, is different, but it has his signature vocabulary and his signature voice throughout. But for me, it's the bigger message always that is the most meaningful. And with John's music, there is always a moral to his story. There's always an emotional payoff, and that's why I love to do his work.
On 88.1, it's Marilyn Morning. I'm Tom Hall. My guest this morning, Maren Alsop. She'll conduct the Ninth Symphony of Beethoven and John Adams' beautiful elegy to the 9/11 attacks called On the Transmigration of Souls this weekend with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra and the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. The Peabody Children's Chorus will be in both Bethesda and here in Baltimore at the Meyerhoff. Let's talk a little bit about the Beethoven Ninth Symphony.
Sure.
Big, famous piece. And in the way that the John Adams piece doesn't really have any memorable tunes. I mean, he yeah. goes out of his way to keep it kind of tuneless. The Ode to Joy is a tune that people have come to know, not just from the symphony, but from the hymn books in their churches and from just popular culture. I guess Beethoven really was purposely trying to write a hit song, wasn't he? And I guess
I
succeeded.
I suppose, but, you know, when you think about the Ode to Joy, it's almost a minimalist kind of tune. It doesn't jump around much. It just uses a few small intervals. Beethoven was a master of maximalizing a small amount of material, very much like John Adams as well. But I think because of the simplicity, that is part of the hook and the appeal of the tune.
This season, if I may make a comment and ask you about a personal matter, you lost both of your parents within a very short period of time, within just days of each other.
I did.
And you wrote very poignantly about that on your blog, about listening to the Ninth Symphony, I guess, with your mom
yes.
in her last days. I wonder if these performances that we're going to be doing this weekend will have a particular poignancy.
Oh, I think everything related to music, because my parents were incredible musicians, wonderful, wonderful musicians, and they were passionate about music. It was their, you know, it was their refuge and their joy. And so I have to say that every concert, every piece, every musical experience does feel heightened for me, but Beethoven 9 will be a special memory, remembering, you know, I lay down next to my mother and I put one of my headphones in her ear and we listened to the Ninth Symphony together, and I just held her hand. This was shortly before she died. But I have to believe she knew I was there.
So one of the things that makes this piece extraordinary, one of the many things that makes it extraordinary, is the fact that Beethoven adds a chorus to this work that he calls a symphony rather than calling it an oratorio or a cantata. What do you think he was getting at?
Well, Beethoven was always, he was all about pushing the envelope. of what the symphony could be. It was thanks to Beethoven that we eliminated this sort of obligatory minuet movement, and we got into a scherzo, which was a much more expansive kind of form. And, you know, Beethoven was, he was amazingly avant-garde for his time, and he was all about humanity, and I think having an actual human voice in a symphony was something that he longed to experiment with. And of course, at the time, people thought he was crazy and sort of selling out by putting a chorus into a symphony. Nobody did that before, but it seemed to have turned out pretty well for him.
And of course, he was in such terrible physical and emotional pain at the time that he wrote this piece, 3 years before he eventually passed away. It is quite extraordinary to think that somebody in that kind of discomfort daily could write a piece that's filled with such hope.
It's amazing. I think that to me, you know, sometimes when I feel the weight of my own, loss, especially with losing my parents, I think about Beethoven because he suffered such unbelievable loss. I mean, can you imagine being a composer and losing your hearing? I can't imagine that. And in addition to that, he had other terrible physical symptoms where he was in agony and pain. And yet, through that, I think the fundamental quality that comes through is one of optimism. And that is an inspiration for all of us, even today.
Maren Alsop is the music director of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. She'll conduct the final concerts of the regular season this weekend, along with the BSO. The concerts will feature the Peabody Children's Chorus and the Baltimore Choral Art Society. That's the chorus that I've prepared for these performances, along with soloists Angela Meade, Jennifer Johnson Kano, Dimitri Pittas, and Baltimore native James Morris. We'll be at the Meyerhoff tomorrow night, Friday night, and Sunday afternoon, and we'll be at Strathmore Hall in Bethesda Saturday night. Program includes On the Transmigration of Souls by John Adams and Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Come to WIPR.org/Maryland Morning for a link to more information. Maren Alsop, I will see you at the theater.
Yeah, I can't wait. Thanks, Tom.
On 881, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
Maryland Morning is an original production of your public radio, WYPR, in Baltimore. You can learn more about what you've heard on our show or catch something you've missed on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. The show is produced by Matt Purdy and Jamila Kay. Nathan Sterner directs and engineers. Tom Hall is our culture editor. We have production help from Brandon Block, Alexandra Kennedy, and Justina Latimer. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. See you next time.